friends of Hallmarkies podcast. We're so excited today to be here for another episode of When Hope Calls. I have two podcast co-hosts today. Cammie is here.
Hi, everybody.
And Amy's here.
Hello.
Yes, the team is all back together. How are you guys doing?
Goodish. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I can't complain too much. So
my voice is still coming back. My voice is still kind of coming back after having a bad cold. So I'm gonna do my darndest.
Yeah, there's been stuff going around all over the whole country. I swear, it's everybody I know is fighting something.
I got some sort of weird stomach bug. I don't know where it came from. It's probably because I work with children. Honestly, but
it's so true. When I used to teach children at church, I would just be extra washing hands because I felt like every week I would get, there'd be some kid that was sniffling and I'd end up getting sick.
I have a little kid. It's really funny because he's like, my mom and dad call me a germ factory. This kid's like six, so I couldn't stop myself from laughing. Anyways.
So, speaking of little kids, we had a really cute little kid today on this week on the When Hope Calls. And little Freddie was just about the cutest thing that you've ever seen. And it was interesting because, you know, last week I had said, we need more of the kids, need more of the kids.
Wish granted.
Yes, that's right. And so this was a pretty fun episode, I thought. What did you think, Cammie, of the episode?
I really liked how Lillian was trying to make everything perfect for Grace's birthday. It goes along with the survivor's guilt theory. You know, she got out of the system, Grace didn't. And it's just showing more of that and more of the, I'm here now, so I'm going to take care of her. I'm going to make her life perfect. It reminded me a lot of Anna's birthday short that they did with Frozen Spring Fever. Lillian was being very Elsa-like about the whole thing. She's like, I just want it to be perfect. I just want it to be perfect. And that was the first thing that came to my mind. Wow, she's being really, really Elsa-like.
That's a good point. At least she didn't have a cold like Elsa did.
Oh, that would have been bad. No, see, I'm the one with the cold. So we're putting them both together.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. What did you think of it, Amy?
I really liked this episode. It was just so cute. Freddie's just adorable. And I think we saw a little bit of Tess's cold, old soul break a little bit with the little boy. It was really cute. Not that she is. That was just an exaggeration. She's not like a cold person, but whatever.
She has been.
I don't want to make it sound like Scrooge. Like, but
she's on the Scrooge spectrum, I think.
But it was a really, really cute episode, and it made me kind of think, because of the way Grace and Lillian are, I kind of want to like find out what their love languages are, just because like I feel like maybe Lillian's is like gifts, like giving. I feel like that might be her love language, and I'm like really interested, like I'm gonna analyze characters now, so
That's a good point, because yeah, some people gifts just don't do much for them. And then other people, it's like a huge deal.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad, for instance, he's both not the best gift giver or the best gift receiver. Either way, like gifts are just not, that's not for him. And he's gotten better over the years, but when we were little, he was not good. You know, something like, why did you get this for me? And we'd be like, oh, oops. And that's just not the way that he processes things. That's an interesting point.
I thought maybe Grace would be more like words of affirmation, maybe, or like quality time type of person. I don't know. I'm gonna think about it more for the rest of the season.
Also, yeah. I think that Grace is probably more of an acts of service
yeah
kind of person.
Yeah.
She's a little bit not trusting of people, just a little bit.
Yeah, you have to prove yourself to her, yeah.
Yeah, so the action is more important to her than the words or the gifts or things like that, it seems.
Yeah.
I don't know. The gift of the picnic basket seemed to really get on her good side. She kissed him on the cheek, for crying out loud.
That's a good point.
We got three more episodes left. What is the chances we get an engagement?
whoa, girl.
I mean,
might be a little much.
This is on very fast moving pace for When Calls the Heart as far as this romance, but I don't think it's that fast.
No, I figured it out, Rachel. We've got two couples, right?
Mm-hmm. So
Lillian and Gabe, they're gonna be the angsty couple that has trouble getting together with the love triangle of Sam and everything. They're gonna be the ones that take a really long time, and that's also just their personalities. They put work first. And then we got the fast-moving couple over here. We've got Grace and Chuck, and they're moving a little bit faster. So we can satisfy both kinds of sentiment.
And yeah,
we got the fast movers for people who are tired of everything taking forever. And then we've got.
five seasons. Okay.
Don't get me started.
It made me crazy. I'm just like, oh my gosh. Just
kidding. My romance started. I was 14. Okay. I was almost 20 when they finally got together. Like. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Crazy talk.
We've got the longer running relationship that has a little bit more drama and a bit more obstacles.
That's a good point.
So
that's a good point.
We can satisfy both ends of the spectrum.
So yeah, if you're listening, if you have an idea of what Grace and Lillian's love languages might be, and you think of these relationships, let us know in the comments or on Twitter.
We should have all the podcast hosts take that quiz too.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. So then we have Chuck kind of insulting Grace at the beginning of the episode, saying, well, why would Fred want to learn about that being a waitress? That's really aiming low.
Open mouth? Would you like salt with that?
I was like, dude, think before you speak. And normally Chuck's really good about that.
Yeah.
He did make up for it, I will say. He did make up for it. He called waitering an essential service, and one of my favorite people waits tables. I said, okay, you've made up for it, but that was close, dude.
That was
really close.
So why do you think that Fred was the only one that did the, take your kid to work
day? Well, they'd said, right, that he'd been sick, so he didn't go to school that day. That they did that with the rest of the kids.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
Yeah. So, poor Fred was sick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was really cute, this little kid, Fred.
Little kid. Oh, wonderful. So cute.
I gotta wonder. When I was 5 years old, I had a little extra part in a TV movie called Hard Promises, and it starred Sissy Spacek. Uh-huh. And we got one scene with her when her character gets married. Now, I was 5 years old. I had no idea who Sissy Spacek was. And then later in life, I figure out just how famous she really was. Mm-hmm. And I just went, oh my gosh, I was in a movie with Sissy Spacek. Ah! And I was too young to appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I really wondered, does Simon, the boy who plays Fred, does he realize just how amazing it was to share so much screen time with Wendy Crewson?
I mean, he's a little kid. He's having fun. Like, this
exactly.
is like play for him.
Yeah, you almost,
later in life, he's gonna go, oh my gosh, I shared all that time with Wendy Crewston. Mm-hmm.
And then if he continues wanting to be an actor into, like, adulthood, like, that's something he might, like, cherish and, like,
yeah,
you know, help him become a better actor as he gets older and stuff, having that influence around him.
It is true that you almost hope he doesn't realize it, because you hope he's just having fun and having a good time and, you know, not one of those kids who's, I mean, yeah. I'm sure they're so good about stuff like that at Hallmark, so I'm sure they're fine. But I think, as a
5-year-old, I'm sorry, probably wouldn't have seen anything she's been in. I don't think there would be a way for him to, like, really, maybe when,
yeah,
like, if he was getting into, like, the age of 12, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, right, middle school age, but I just think he'd be too young to really understand.
He's just having a good time, because he was kind of cute.
That's kind of the age with, like, okay, do we have any, like, really young kids that listen to our podcast?
So, come on, we're a big favorite.
Okay, well,
the kindergartners sex.
I'm just gonna say, like, at that age, they're still, like, you know, thinking Disney characters are real, like,
right?
So they wouldn't. I don't know. I don't think they have that, like, realization necessarily, like. Like, little kids of famous people don't really realize, like, oh, my parent is a big deal. It's like, no, that's just mom or dad that take me to school every day. Like,
my favorite thing about Fred is that when he took the bite out of the pie, that was hilarious. He's, like, delivering the pie, and he's like, this is really good.
Did you see Grace's eyes just bug out?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
It was so funny. I loved that. And then, how did you guys feel about, so Grace doesn't want to party, and yet Lillian kind of feels like she needs a party, so she's going to plan it anyway. What did you think of that dynamic? Should Lillian have just been like, fine, we'll just hang out as a family, which is basically, I mean, the party was not like a party. It was mostly family and close friends. But I don't know, should Lillian have just backed off, or do you think it was good she kind of was pushing her on this?
I think maybe she did it not partly because she didn't get a chance to do that with her when they were young. Mm-hmm. And wanted to give her that experience and show her love in that way. I think maybe she should have listened a little more intently earlier. But it was all coming from a good place. And I mean, personally, I'm a huge birthday person. I love birthdays. And I have friends that are like, oh, no, let's not do anything on my birthday. Don't give me anything. You know, I'm fine, whatever. And I'm always like, but I want to celebrate you. Like, I love you so much. I want to celebrate you as a person. So, yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they even say something similar to that in the episode. Like, it's a way for us to celebrate. Yeah. The people in our lives. Yeah. But again, kind of getting back to what you said about love languages, maybe just taking it very casual is more how she, you know, she receives love, but yeah. And, you know, it all worked out in the end at least, but it just kind of made me wonder, like, in our lives, like how much should we just respect what people want versus pushing them a little bit? It's kind of a hard dynamic, especially on a new relationship, new friendship that you're trying to kind of
I mean, I wouldn't force like a surprise birthday party because that could freak someone out big time type mm-hmm. of thing. But I think maybe something small, like she said, like I have a friend who really, really hates birthdays. So like every year I'll just be like, all right, I'm going to go and we're going to go to a restaurant and I'm going to get you like a cupcake or a special cookie or something like that. I think that's like a really small way to like respect their feelings, but still be like, hey, I'm showing you that I love you. I appreciate you. And I'm celebrating you.
Just don't go to like Joe's Crab Shack where they can make them do all the embarrassing stuff on their birthday.
Yeah, no, never. She'd walk out. Like my friend would walk out if I made her do that.
I don't know. What do you think, Cammie? How do you find that line between
what? Oh, the line.
Like between pushing people and respecting what they want.
The big thing is Grace never had anything like that since she was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And birthdays made her sad because she was in the orphanage. And I gotta be honest, all of her going on and on and on, she's letting the trauma of her childhood overtake her again. And, you know, Rachel, you and I have talked about that in that she goes through this huge traumatic emotional experience every time there's something going on with the kids because it's something that she experienced. Do you remember that? And so I thought that, you know, Grace didn't realize what she could have on her birthday because she hadn't experienced it. Mm-hmm. And she was afraid of it. And it was, you know, I thought that after Ben said to her, we celebrate the fact that they're in our lives, I thought that would change Grace's mind, you know, mm-hmm. that she would realize that that's what Lillian's trying to do. And if you looked at her reaction, I thought she was going to blow up, if not just a little bit. I thought that Grace was going to blow up at the surprise, but she loved it. She just didn't realize that she loved it. And so in this particular instance, I think she needed to be pushed. I do. I think that she had to be pushed into it. She had to realize that there are people who love her and there are people who want to celebrate her and there are people who want to make her birthday special. And that, you know, on my birthday, all I did was miss you and miss mom and dad. And Lillian says, but I'm here now. And that's something that had to get through Grace's head. And I thought that the birthday party really did that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I think that it's the kind of thing that I don't know who could really get mad at like they're just like I said, if it was like a huge party, then I could see maybe getting a little overwhelmed. But it really was just the kids and like four other people. So I think she did a good job with sort of the right level of party. And I can't imagine any human being being like, why did my family and four other people like
have a birthday party? Why did my family say happy birthday to me? Like that is wrong.
What's wrong with them? So I think they did a good job. If it had been a big deal, maybe then I could
see
getting overwhelmed by that. But
like the type of dinner party that had happened in the episode earlier, like if that had been done for her, I think she would have had more of a reason to blow up.
Yeah. And at least it's not a disingenuous, don't do anything for my birthday, you know, because that's the worst people of all that people are like, oh, I don't want anything. Don't buy me any presents. Then so you don't, which you should never do. Disappointed. And then they're like, oh, how dare you not remember my birthday? It's like, I did exactly what you asked me to do. That kind of fishing, I'm not a fan of. So that was good. Anyway, so yeah. And well,
Rachel, can I just say something really quick? Sure. Sam said a line exactly like that. He said, when people go out of their way to do nice things, it usually pays off. Mm-hmm. And that's what Lillian was doing. And so I thought Sam was being very wise right there because that's exactly what she was doing. She was trying to show her love. And I found the line that Ben said, we love them. We want to celebrate that fact. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, yes. Are you listening? Are you listening, Lillian? Please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one fun surprise that you can have that's delivered right to your house is to get a vitamin box from our sponsor of this episode, Care Of. And they, right now, you can go to takecareof.com and get 25% off your first order with code Hallmarkies. And this is a really, really cool company that they work really hard to personalize your order of vitamins. There's a quiz that you can take where you can let them know sort of your health issues, how skeptical you are of vitamins, all of that stuff. And then every month or however much you want to do it, you can get your vitamins. Amy, you've had the vitamins from Care Of. What did you think?
Oh, I absolutely love them. As a college student, you know, sometimes I'm running out the door quickly in the morning. I don't always have time to take my vitamins. And this has helped me really get back on a schedule of taking my vitamins because I can just take the individual packages and just throw them in my bag in the morning so that I make sure I am taking my vitamins throughout the day. And it's also really great for traveling. So instead of having to like find a container to put all your vitamins in or something, you can just take the amount of packages that you need with you on your trip. Yeah. And it doesn't take up that much space. So it's been really awesome and really, really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's lots of stuff going around, so it's very important to have those vitamins, be taking them regularly, trying to be as healthy as possible. So definitely check out Care Of for your vitamin needs. And again, you can get 25% off your first order with code Hallmarkies. So check that out. So, and speaking of Sam, so he's Mr. got a big chip on his shoulder. I did kind of like that Lillian was basically like, sorry, it was an honest mistake, get over it.
He was being hard on everybody. Oh my word. He was really saying, yeah, when I'm not running from the Mounties, are you gonna sick the Mounties on me?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, let it go, dude.
Someone's a little salty.
Yes, that's a good way to describe it. And I guess he's working as like a woodworker.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a furniture maker for someone named Henson. We haven't seen his character yet, so
yeah. So then Gabe is going to get chocolates, and I do think it's kind of funny that in Brookfield evidently they have the best chocolates and then they also have the second best chocolates. That was funny to me. We want to just order more of the best chocolates instead of ordering.
Did you see the Hershey's behind though? The old school Hershey's? I was like, that is so cool.
That was awesome. Props to the prop people.
Why didn't Hershey's like first best and second best chocolate? What's Hershey's? Is there this?
It just made me laugh because it's like, why don't you just order more of the best chocolates instead of ordering the best and the second best chocolates?
Well, because everyone has their own chocolate preference.
I guess. I mean, there must not be. Maybe they are the best chocolates to some people. It's, and the second best chocolates are the second best, or the best chocolates to other people.
But
I don't know.
It's also Canada, so they prefer, like, they get British chocolate. So they prefer different types of chocolate than us Americans do.
Well, maybe so. I didn't know that.
Did you guys wonder who the chocolates were for? Because I seriously wondered. Yes. I said, Was it a birthday present for Grace, or was he trying to get in good after that? Oh, after that dirty low board trick maneuver. Oh man, slamming the board down right in front of him so he couldn't approach Lily. And I said, that's low. That's low. He got awfully territorial. Sam did. Sam got really territorial. It reminds me, before my husband and I were married, there was a point in time when he was pursuing me and I did not want him to. It was a very tricky situation. Anyway, so a friend of mine from college comes to visit me, and when he was around, he came to church with me, and Will and I went to the same church, and Will got so territorial. He was going up and he was saying all of these things to show how close he had been to me in the past and all these things that we had done together. And
like, really? That's funny. You're like, calm down.
Oh my gosh. And when I was watching it, it brought back so many memories. Now, obviously he toned it down because I married him, but, but it just was, I could not believe it brought back so many memories. And I was like, Sam, Shut your mouth, dude. You are being so territorial. That's only going to make her back off more.
Yeah, yeah. So let's break down. So Gabe, when he's buying the chocolate, he gets a telegram. And there's basically two people involved here. There's Meeks. And then there's Sinclair. Is that correct? I got that right. And they worked at the savings and loan because they already arrested one person, but they didn't steal everything. So they're trying to find everybody else who stole from the savings and loan. And so he goes after the stagecoach, and it turns out the guy left the stagecoach. He runs in, he finds him in this cabin. There's like a standoff. And it turns out that this guy is Meeks, right?
Yeah. Or something. Yeah, that was Meeks.
Yeah, Sinclair's the bad guy.
Sinclair's the really bad guy. So what was Meeks, what was he doing?
He was on the run. Yeah.
He was on the run for what?
From Sinclair, because he knows some information, and so Sinclair's pursuing him so that no one knows what Sinclair's actually doing.
Because he worked in the savings and loan.
Yeah. But he only has minimal information. He doesn't actually have any proof, so he doesn't know why Sinclair's really going after him. Did I get that?
So he didn't actually steal anything, but Gabe thought that he did.
Yeah.
Until Meeks he talked
was,
to him.
Meeks was Sinclair's teller.
Yeah.
And remember what Joe said, he looked to Sinclair to see how high to jump. I thought that was really great writing that they made his name Meeks. Said, oh, Meeks was Meek. You know, yeah. It was great naming on the writer's part. And so, yeah, he's the one who's running away. He's the little lackey that knows more than he should, but not as much as the bad guy thinks.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty intense at the beginning because he's all shooting, you know, his gun and stuff. You're like, calm down, Meeks. What's going on? But so now Gabe is on the lookout for Sinclair.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is very exciting. We'll see what happens. I'm sure they will get him by the end of the season. We'll see what happens next. And so then we have Fred at the ranch because Chuck takes him because he's already broken like half of Robbie's plates.
Grace's pay. Grace lost a day's pay, I bet, with everything that went wrong, all the dishes that broke, all the food he sampled. Oh my gosh, I bet it took an entire day's pay to pay for all of that. That kid did not belong in the restaurant. I thought the ranch would be a safer place, but then he let the cows out. But he got into less trouble.
Yeah, it was so cute. I loved everything with Fred and at the ranch. It was so cute. And his interactions with Tess was adorable.
Mm-hmm. I loved it. Oh my goodness. It just makes me think. See, the thing is, like, she has a soft spot, I feel like, for little boys because she has a little boy that's all grown up and she's got that little soft spot. And I'm like, oh, it was just so cute to see Tess. Like, and I feel like Tess will be someday, she'd be like a great, like, grandma or like even when she, like, you know, settles down a little bit, like a good influence on some of the kids, especially maybe if they got like an older teenage boy in the orphanage or something, or like a mid preteen boy, I think she'd be a really good, like, help whip him into shape type of lady once she like calms down on the whole anger issues.
Yeah. And she even sort of realized that that by the end, she's like, it was fun having a little one on around the ranch. But yeah, he lets the cows out. And so the cowboys have to go and wrangle them back in. And we learn about the horse does most of the work, which we probably, I pretty much suspected with Kim. the ranch when he is the horse. And also there's, so Chuck is kind of preoccupied with they're having a new foal there. So that's why he ends up kind of, Fred ends up kind of wandering out. So it was definitely a really, really cute moment. That kid playing Fred was adorable.
When she started talking to him at first I was getting angry. I was like, you ran away from a mistake. I'm like, oh my gosh, the kid's what, 5? Leave him alone. Mm-hmm. But then she totally did a 180 and she said, I made a mistake and I came in here to fix it, to say I'm sorry. So mm-hmm. Now you made a mistake and you need to fix it, but I don't know how.
Yeah, that was really cute. And you know, and some people are like that with kids, you know, just very, I mean, you never want to treat them too much like grown-ups, like that can be unhealthy, yeah. But there are some people who are more sort of forthright with kids, and that can be actually quite effective mm-hmm. in getting them to make their own decisions and you know, not be needy, because definitely Tess is not a needy kind of kind of person.
she was probably really hard on, like, in a good way, hard on Chuck growing up. Yeah. I think, like, kind of made him the person, like, strong, independent guy he kind of is. Yeah. I feel like that's how she, like, influenced him.
Yeah.
And now she's mad at him for trying to break those ties.
I know, right? It's like, you raised him that way. Like.
Yes. And so Grace ends up agreeing to work late there's a party there for Mendelsohn, and his parents are celebrating the 50th anniversary. And so there's a big party, and little does she know that the whole family and everybody's they're planning the surprise party. But what about surprise parties for you guys? Do you like surprise parties? Do you feel like the fun is enhanced by being a surprise, or it's just kind of like not your favorite? What do you think, Amy?
I'm a birthday person, so I love parties, but the whole thing about the surprise party is like, I don't know. I've never had one because my birthday's on a holiday, so people never have done anything like that for me. Like, it's hard enough to get people to even see me on my birthday. Like my family, it's hard sometimes because my birthday's a holiday.
What holiday?
July 4th.
Yeah.
Oh. So everyone's on vacation and stuff. But
unless,
like,
you always have fireworks on your birthday. Nobody else can say that.
That's a good point. But like with surprise parties, I could see people getting really anxious, and I could see how that, like, especially if you're like got an anxiety or something, and maybe it doesn't, like, it's not obvious to other people, like, that could be really hurtful and detrimental. And I don't know if surprise parties are a good thing, unless it is a person that's, like, super outgoing, constantly, like, you know, crazy, out there type, not out there, but just, like, you know, is a really outgoing already person, I'd say that. But if the person's, like, kind of more reserved, kind of more like a let's hang out and chill type of person, I would never do that to them, because I really don't want to be the reason someone has an anxiety or a panic attack.
Well, I'm not a big fan of surprises in general. They can be really fun. Like, I've told the story about how the bubbly Sesh girl surprised me with Erin Cahill.
so but that was one really person. Can you imagine if, like, you just walked in and it was the whole cast or something?
I know.
Like,
so, that would have been. So it can be really fun when done well. But that, in that case, I had no sort of anticipation for anything happening, whereas like usually on a birthday you kind of have anticipation of something happening. So then when, like, people are doing nothing, it's kind of like, oh yeah, everybody forgot about my birthday. And I feel like part of the fun of having a party for me is that lead up, is that anticipation of, you know, the planning and the inviting and the you know, stuff like that. And I guess for a birthday party, usually you don't plan your own birthday parties. Even though I usually end up doing that.
I do, yeah. Like, I do. Yeah, it's the 4th of July. I send my invitations out in May. I'm like, hey, if you're going to be here on the 4th of July, because I know everyone goes out of town and stuff, like, this is the time. Like, this is what we're doing.
Schedule,
like,
it in.
Exactly. Yeah. And normally, like, 12 people will be like, oh, yeah, I'm coming. And then, like, 2 days before, they're like, oh, yeah, no, I forgot we have family stuff or whatever. And it's, like, me and one person. Yeah.
But that all that planning to me is part of the fun of it. Like, what are we gonna serve? What am I gonna make? What are, you know, what kind of cake are we gonna get? All that stuff. So I feel like making it a surprise is kind of robbing some of the fun out of the whole experience. But I don't know. What do you think, Cammie, about surprise birthday parties?
It's my greatest wish that my husband would throw me a surprise birthday party one day. I love surprises. For him.
Yeah. Mr. Cammie, get on this.
Can that be our new thing? Like, all the husbands of the podcast, we just call them Mr. Casey, Mr. Lisa.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, cool. It's a new thing.
Yay, I started a trend. But no, I love surprises. Anytime my mom surprised me a couple of times in high school on my birthday, she would, like one time she had my friends decorate my locker. At one point she bought me a bouquet of roses and people handed them to me in choir class. I love surprises. I love, and being thrown a birthday surprise party, to me, for my personality, that shows great care and great planning. Mm-hmm. And it shows that people are willing to go through the effort for you. Now, on the other hand, I am also a theater girl, and so parties are kind of like a production for me. On my 29th birthday, I had a Hunger Games party, and I had stuff planned down to the last detail. We did games, and I made these little, oh shoot, I forgot what they were called, but you know, the relief things that so we played games, and I put prizes in these little circular bowls, and I made little parachutes, and I flew them in when people won one of the games. Aww. And we had a pinata that looked like a beehive for the Tracker Jackers, and you know, so I did this whole big thing. And then when I turned 30, I did a princess bride party.
Oh.
And it was so much fun. All of the food in both parties had something to do with the two movies. And when I did my princess bride party, I had a quote from the movie for each little bit of food. So I had a bowl of honey roasted peanuts, and it's like, anybody want a peanut? Anybody want a peanut? So I'm both. You know, now I have four children, so I concentrate more on making a great birthday for them. Mm-hmm. My husband and I are kind of trying to save money, so we don't do a lot for our birthdays, but we try to make the birthdays special for the kids. But one day, that to me would be the biggest show of love, is having a surprise party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and technically, I mean, that doesn't really cost anything to have a surprise party.
But just throwing a party would take quite a bit of money too.
So Mr. Cammie, you're listening.
You need to throw her a party, dude.
Yeah, surprise party.
Yeah.
My birthday was in August, so.
Okay, you know. So he's got plenty of time to plan for next year.
Yes.
Side note, though, we've done specials on the podcast for Harry Potter and Twilight. I don't think we've done a Hunger Games special, though. So, Cammie, if you'd be interested in that in the future, we can plan.
Did
that.
You hear about the prequel?
Yes, the book.
No,
I am so excited.
No, what?
Oh my gosh, Susan Collins is writing a book that's about the 10th Hunger Games. It's a prequel.
Oh my word. Yeah.
So I'm so, and it has, oh gosh.
What's I think it's written. Like, I saw the,
yeah,
like in the publicity, I saw
it's
the
book. It's coming out in May. Oh. It's about Mags's Hunger Games from the last one.
Gosh.
Yeah. So she's going to be in it, and I'm so excited. I'm so interested. Like, oh, I can't wait. I love those books.
Yeah. I'm not the biggest fan, but you guys can do the podcast, and it'll be awesome. So
I'm sure
Can we do a Princess Bride? Can we do a Princess Bride one?
Definitely. I can do that one. We can do the Princess
Bride. Out of the like 10 hosts now, I'm sure there's at least a third person that also enjoys Hunger Games. Probably Lisa. I would guess think Lisa.
Maybe you could get Amber, because I think she likes, maybe you could get Amber back for that one. I don't know, because I think she likes that. So anyway, yeah. So let us know in the comments or on Twitter if you have had a surprise birthday party and what your experience was, because that would be fun. I've never had a surprise birthday party. Honestly, the surprise from the Bubblicious Girls is really one of the only like real, I would say, surprises. I can think of one time when I was in high school, I really wanted this one bedroom set, I guess you might say, for my room, this particular design. And I had some ideas of kind of what I wanted to do with my room. And but it was just not happening. And I went to King's Dominion, which is an amusement park in Virginia. And when I got back, my parents had gotten the set that I wanted. And they had done up my whole room, and they had painted the walls with this like sponge art that I wanted.
Aww.
Like, green and blue. And anyway, that was a big fun surprise. Not only did I get to go to the amusement park, which is like my favorite, but I also got this. So that it can be a really fun.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever been surprised really with anything like that. The only time is when I did have my spinal surgery and I was in the hospital for a long period of time. The whole time I was in the hospital, my mom or my dad, my uncle, and my brother, actually, the reason my room is pink, they painted my room pink while I was in the hospital. And when I came home from the hospital, my bedroom was pink, and I'd always wanted a pink room. And I don't know if they did that as a distraction because I was in the hospital, so they painted my room as kind of a distraction for them, but it was also just kind of amazing. And I remember I got home, and I was like, thank you, because I just got out of the hospital, and I was like so out of it. But then later on, I was like, oh my gosh, they painted my room pink. Like, thank you. Like, it was a great thing to come home from the hospital too.
Room painting, that's a winner. Yes. I think we've come to realize that.
Paint someone's bedroom for them. Not only does it help stop them from having to do the work themselves.
Yeah. And so part of the surprise is that Grace had shown Lillian this little music box that she had, which she'd gotten from her parents, one of her last memories. And so Lillian decides to restore it, and she goes and talks to Sam, and so they're able to refurbish it and sand it and paint it. And first she doesn't think that they'll be able to fix the music, but Sam works his magic and fix the music. And I thought that was really sweet, because that was kind of a surprise for Lillian as well as Grace when the music works. That was fun. Yeah. How are you feeling about Sam, this little love triangle with Sam and Gabe? And
I think because Sam is like a prospector, there we go. And he's kind of traveled a little bit, and he's kind of outdoorsy, woodsy. He hasn't met Maggie yet. And I feel like they would be cute together. Maybe not for like a permanent thing, but I think they would possibly get along, maybe have a short romance, maybe not, but I feel like that would be a good match. Also, I just want Lillian to be with Gabe. So
what about Maggie and Joe though? So are you not shipping them?
That's why I'm thinking like maybe a short little romance thing, and then Joe sees like, well, I like her, like what is she doing with him type of thing, you know, like a jealousy type thing. I don't know, maybe we'll see.
So that's sort of Sam's big role so far on the show, is to make other men jealous. I don't know.
Everybody's got to have something to do, right?
I don't know. I'm kind of digging Sam. I don't know. I just feel like he's somebody who's going to push Lillian way more out of her comfort zone and help her to be a kind of challenger a little bit more. I like their dynamic between the two of them a little bit more than her and Gabe.
Mm.
Shocking, I know. What do you think, Cammie?
I don't know. I mean, like I said, I was really getting ticked off at how territorial Sam was being. It was yeah, starting to kind of drive me crazy. It was like, you are being a total jerk. And then when Gabe, oh my gosh, that was one of the saddest scenes in the whole episode to me. When Gabe is riding back into town and you can hear the happy birthday song and just looking at his forlorn face, and then he just gets off, he gets off his horse and he goes into his office. I thought he wasn't going to go. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah. Oh my gosh, Gabe, no, go to the party.
I would have loved though if he was just like eating the second best chocolate.
No, he can't do that because they were a gift. You know, it would have been funny. But at that point, we thought that maybe the chocolates were still for Lillian.
Yeah.
But then, and if you notice, I thought this was really interesting. Both men in the girls' lives, both Chuck and Gabe, were late to the party because of their jobs. Mm-hmm. And they were both out there doing what they had to do. Now, Chuck got there earlier than Gabe. But I just thought that was a really interesting dynamic that both the men were out there doing what they had to do, and it made them late to the party. So it's kind of a good thing and a bad thing. But then when Gabe does make it and he shows how glad he is that he made it and how sorry he is that work made him late, and then Sam comes in with, yeah, I don't think there's even any cake left. It was like, okay, if you're trying to get, and then, you know, they go in and Lillian hands him a piece of cake and Sam looks all sad and thought, well, what do you expect after you're being such a jerk? You know, so.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like he pushes her a little bit.
He does.
Farther.
He
does. I like it's that. True. I like that.
He teaches her things. He pushes her, but he's also being a total dork. So,
you know. Yeah. But that cake looked delicious.
I put it right here in my notes. Beautiful cake. That thing was exquisite. That was so gorgeous. And then I loved how Ronnie, he was being such a child. He's like, can I get a flower? I thought only kids asked for frosting flowers, but no, can I get a flower? And while we're on Ronnie, just really fast, can I just say, I thought it was so sweet to see Ronnie's soft spot for Grace. Mm-hmm. You know, he helped the whole thing with getting the party moved over to the hotel. He didn't care about the party moving over to the hotel because it could have been, no, this is a place of business, but he didn't do that. And then he said, the food for your future picnic is going to be my birthday gift. I just thought that, and then he wanted a kiss on the cheek and she shook his hand, you know, just that whole thing. I loved that, seeing that side of Ronnie.
Yeah.
That he's got really a little cute soft spot for Grace.
I thought when he was having her go up to the balcony, I thought everybody would be outside, you know, and she'd see them from the balcony. That's what I was thinking. But yeah, she's going to like, why are you taking me up here? Like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. It was fun. And I thought the whole party, if you're dealing with somebody who's like had trauma with birthdays, I think it was like the perfect birthday party. Like I said, it really was just basically family and very close friends. And I loved how each of the kids made their own star, those paper stars. They were so cute and so fun. And
once again, it just shows how much everybody cares. Yeah. You know, they say Grace loves stars, so they made stars. And then they all put down every reason they could think of why they loved her. You know, it wasn't a huge overblown thing. It was very sentimental and just, they just wanted to show her that they love her. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really cute. I really, really liked the whole party and I really liked those stars. That's the kind of thing that for a person like Grace would really mean a lot.
Yeah.
Is each one of those stars. And
Chuck said it best. not wanting something doesn't mean that you don't need it. I was like, good on you, Chuck. Good job.
Very good. Yeah,
I could just like see her putting those up in her room though afterwards or like the next day and just being like, oh, like I'm just in her room, like in the corner or something. And she'd look at her little constellation from her kids. Like, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so then there's a few little gifts, including Chuck gives Grace a picnic basket, and which was so cute. And he got a kiss on the cheek. That was pretty exciting.
I loved it.
Well, and also everybody was like, ooh.
I like, thought that
this is them like mom. This is them like showing it to everyone. Like this is really in front of the kids and everything. So like I think this is leading up into like a may I court you, Miss Grace type of thing. Maybe he'll ask the kids. Like that'd be fun.
That would be adorable.
I could just see the boys being all like, well, are you gonna hurt her? Like type of thing.
Yeah.
But if you remember the boys asked Grace, are the yellow roses from Mr. Stewart? Mm-hmm. Because Vincent says he's sweet on you. So I think everybody loves him. We saw that in the last episode. All of the kids love having Chuck around.
Mm-hmm. Well, but you know, the boys are the men of the house. And you know, when Rosemary and Lee were there, Lee was like, you know, you need to not be asked. You need to take care of things to the boys in that episode.
Absolutely,
the boys might be like, all right, well, we got to make sure that Miss Grace is taken care of. And so we may like you, Chuck, but we're going to watch you type of thing.
That would be the most adorable thing ever. That would be. Brian Bird, Michael Landon Jr., are you fellas listening? Because that would be awesome.
I pitch things on the podcast all the time and nothing ever happens. So it's just for my own pleasure, I guess. I don't know.
So next week, that's episode 8. It's called About a Girl. It says a visitor from Grace's past comes into town and the Lily and Grace try to bring a family together. So it looks like it's going to be something to do with which one of the kids
has Helen?
Helen's grandfather.
Yeah, and so there's some kind of, he wants some kind of proof. Like,
which is terrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not the day and age of DNA, so I don't know what he's expecting, but.
Yeah. Well, and like, why did he send his lawyer? I mean,
yeah,
he knew her when she was little, so I would think that he would recognize her at least to some degree. Why didn't he come himself?
I could see like him bringing the lawyer with him.
Yes.
Especially if they're going to have to sign paperwork or something. Like, yeah, but without him, like that seems a little sketchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be interesting to see. And I wonder who the visitor from Grace's past might be somebody.
It's her friend Eve. I don't know anything beyond that, but it's her friend Eve.
Oh, okay.
And she wants her to travel around the world with her.
Oh,
which
okay.
Seems really like something you shouldn't ask someone who runs an orphanage.
Yeah, probably not the best.
Like, I could see her being like, hey, when you have some vacation time, let's go away for the weekend or something. Like, something short, concise, not let's go travel around the world. Like,
yeah.
Well, and did you see Chuck? Mm-hmm. In the very end of the preview, he says, and I quote, Grace, I don't want you to go. You got your whole Jack and Elizabeth moment at the end of season 1. Don't go. Oh. We're such girls. We're working out.
So, and there are 10 episodes in the season, correct?
Yes,
I think so.
We got 3 more.
Yeah.
Well, so there we go. I think this was a nice, fun little episode. Let us know in the comment section what you thought of the episode, Little Freddy or the birthday party or some other stuff going on. What did you think? We can talk about it on Twitter. It's just really fun to talk about. So, Cammie, where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Cammy Drama Girl, Cammy spelled K-A-M-I. On Facebook, I have my Facebook page, hookedhardy.com. Or sorry, Hooked Hardy Facebook page. And then my blog is hookedhardy.com.
Great. And Amy, what about you?
You can find me on Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter at It's Amy Craig. And I promise I will make YouTube videos again someday.
Okay, good. Good. You can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media and iTunes and YouTube. And make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod all over the social media. And if you're listening on iTunes, please give us your ratings and reviews. We really, really appreciate it. And if you're watching on YouTube, give us your thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We sure appreciate that as well. And thanks so much, you guys. And please consider becoming a patron of the channel. We have a lot of fun in our patron group, and we have giveaways and other fun perks. And so check that out. All the information will be in the description. And thanks so much, you guys. We will talk next week.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And we'll talk next week.
Okay. Alrighty.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by Hallmarkies for Hallmarkies. For more information about how you can leave your mark on Hallmarkies, visit HallmarkiesPodcast.com. Link in the description.